Well, Pastor John MacArthur has called for collective war against the charismatic church. How should we respond?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we are going to have a very important Jesus-centered, biblically-based discussion today about some very controversial issues threatening to really divide the body these days. We want to exalt Jesus. We want to exalt the work of the Holy Spirit. We want to exalt the Scriptures. We want to promote unity. And we'll do it by putting sensitive, difficult issues on the table plainly today, right here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us on the broadcast. Here's the number to call to get involved in the conversation, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. Now, I welcome folks calling in who differ with me, who agree with me, and who are somewhere in between as I express my grave concerns about the conference about to launch in California led by Pastor John MacArthur on Strange Fire. I was sent an advanced copy of his book by the publisher. Obviously, I can't read all of it to you on the air. It's an advanced copy, but I've gone through it. I agree with many of the concerns he raises and have grave concerns about many other statements in the book, along with his complete denial of the ongoing normative use of the gifts of the Spirit for today, and even his limiting of the work of the Spirit. I say this with respect towards Pastor MacArthur for the tremendous work he's done for the body of Christ in so many ways for decades. I speak with him with respect as an elder, as an older brother. And also, to be perfectly clear, for those who say, well, why aren't you having a private discussion? Well, I've attempted that. We have reached out to Pastor MacArthur's people, to people close to him, to set up a face-to-face meeting with me, with other charismatic Pentecostal leaders and cessationist leaders together in one room. We're all busy, but this would be an important thing to do, to spend a day together, to open the Scriptures, to get on our knees and seek God together. At this point, those doors are closed, so we continue to interact publicly as public statements are being made, as a public conference is about to be held, and as a book is about to be released. I've written an article. If you haven't read it yet, as soon as you have a moment, then go ahead and read it. It's called The Final Appeal to Pastor John MacArthur on the Eve of His Strange Fire Conference. So his conference starts tomorrow, runs for 3 days. It will be available live on internet. The conference itself has been sold out for some time. No surprise, given the way this was promoted and the controversy surrounding things. But to quote Pastor MacArthur directly, he refers to the charismatic church and the charismatic movement as a farce and a scam. And he says it is a false church. And the explosive growth of this false church, he says, is as dangerous as any cult or heresy that has ever assaulted Christianity. And he calls for, quote, a collective war against these alleged pervasive abuses on the Spirit of God. So major charges being brought. No argument with the fact that there are excesses and extremes that need to be addressed. In fact, I've addressed them for years. I wrote a book in 1991, for example, just to my charismatic brothers and sisters, called Whatever Happened to the Power of God, asking the question, is the charismatic church slain in the Spirit or down for the count? And Pastor MacArthur even quotes from that book, recognizing critiques of the charismatic movement from within. However, he is throwing out the baby with the bathwater. He is speaking against what the Holy Spirit is doing today, and thus can do more harm than good for the immediate.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And it's in the context of Leviticus 9 and 10 that I want to direct your attention towards strange fire that's being offered to God today. And it could well bring His judgment. What I'm talking about is the charismatic movement. It offers to God unacceptable worship, distorted worship. It blasphemes the Holy Spirit. It attributes to the Holy Spirit even the work of Satan. People are caught up in it, deceived, led astray.
Yeah, those are extreme charges from Pastor John MacArthur. They are unfortunate. They are untrue. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast today, 866-348-7884. I have had the privilege of ministering overseas more than 130 different trips, so preaching hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds or thousands of messages in different parts of the world, working with precious, charismatic, Pentecostal believers, some of whom have literally shed their blood for the gospel. I've traveled extensively throughout America. I had the privilege of being involved in historic revival movement that took place in one church and spread to many other places over a period of years. And I've seen abuses. I've seen issues. I've preached in non-charismatic churches and circles and seen abuses and seen issues. Unfortunately, there are scandals that are out there, and often celebrity and pride and hyper-prosperity bring scandals with them. We've seen that in charismatic circles and non-charismatic circles. That's grievous, inexcusable. We have seen all types of doctrinal abuses in charismatic and non-charismatic circles. We could have lists of them. What concerns me is when the Holy Spirit is doing wonderful things around the world. This is something that we should all rejoice about. When the Holy Spirit is healing sick bodies, when the Holy Spirit is saving lost sinners, when the Holy Spirit is bringing people from worship of idols to worship of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit is bringing people from darkness to light, when He's bringing them to throw away and destroy their false religious books and their witchcraft stuff and read the scriptures themselves, rather than rejoicing at what the Holy Spirit is doing, there are some leaders who are either looking at extreme fringes within the charismatic movement, or who are judging what they're uncomfortable with as if it's unscriptural, too intense, too emotional, too loud. And rather than working with what the Holy Spirit is doing, they are speaking against it. That grieves my heart. I want to make plain that I'm not concerned that the Holy Spirit's work around the earth is going to stop. I'm not concerned that a conference by any individual, any group of people, or a book or anything is going to stop what the Holy Spirit is doing. God's moving mightily. And God's moving in some of the poorest, most afflicted, most downtrodden parts of the world. And if I just take one example of one brother that we work with who's been stoned for preaching the gospel, who's one of the most precious Jesus-centered people I know in the world, whose workers have often been beaten and persecuted for the gospel, he's even had some workers martyred for the gospel, and it was planted 6,000 churches in unreached tribal regions in India, where you can support one of these pastors full-time for $30 a month. That's the way they live. That's the sacrifice, the conditions in which they find themselves. I see the Holy Spirit working among these people. I work with them every year in India. See the amazing things that God has done. And if you talk to them about these abuses, they've never heard of them. They've never seen them. In fact, if you talk to the leaders of the major Pentecostal charismatic denominations worldwide, most of them would renounce these abuses or had never heard of them. And yet, because of the abuses of a few, because of the errors of a few, and because the way the Holy Spirit works doesn't always fit into the way we like it, a wonderful, glorious move of God taking place in front of the world, taking place in front of our eyes around the world, something that should be bringing us to our knees in praise and gratitude to God, instead is maligned. 866-34-TRUTH. According to Pastor MacArthur, the Holy Spirit found in the vast majority of charismatic teaching and practice bears no resemblance to the true Spirit of God as revealed in the Scripture. He says that the modern charismatic movement attributes the work of the devil to the Holy Spirit. And he claims that leaders of the movement are, quote, Satan's false teachers, marching to the beat of their own illicit desires, gladly propagating his errors. They are spiritual swindlers, he says, con men, crooks, and charlatans. Boy, those are unfortunate words for a leader of Pastor MacArthur's caliber. Those are unfortunate words for someone who has the influence that he has, for someone whom, I repeat, has had much entrusted to him and who has done so much good. Yet when you paint with this broad brush, you condemn the innocent. When you paint with this broad brush, you also have to remember that many people listening or reading or watching are not doing so with all the maturity in the world, and so they will write off everyone in the process. They will write off everyone. They will think that any charismatic Pentecostal pastor must be a false teacher from Satan and a spiritual swindler or con man or crook or charlatan. This is really unfortunate. Hence the article that I wrote, which just in the last few hours has been shared over 5,000 times on one website alone, a final appeal to Pastor John MacArthur on the eve of his Strange Fire conference. To get in the discussion, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Now, here's one of the more bizarre claims that he makes. Joey, let's start with clip number one. I don't know where he gets this information from. It is certainly false. It is certainly inaccurate and misleading. This is one of the comments he makes on a pre-conference video on the Strange Fire website.
And one of the most popular views, the modern charismatic movement, and I need to put this in context, is that Jesus isn't who the Bible says he is. Let me give it to you in just an overview. 90% of the charismatic Pentecostal people in the world, 90% of them, and there are multi-millions of them, approaching 100 million or something, 90% of them are part of the Word Faith movement. That's not my statistics, that's their own. 90% of them are part of the Word Faith movement. That's the health, wealth, prosperity, Word Faith, name it and claim it movement.
False. False. I I don't know where he gets this from. First, in his book, he rightly says there are about a half a billion, 500 million charismatic Pentecostal believers worldwide, which would mean in the last 100 years, the most rapidly growing church anywhere in the world, even growing more rapidly than Islam percentage-wise. So that's the first thing. He says 90 or 100 million here, 500 million in his book. But the idea that 90% are word of faith, name it, claim it, health, wealth, prosperity, I don't know where in the world he gets this from. And the idea, friends, that the errors, in extreme parts, in particular of the word of faith movement, are held to by most charismatic Pentecostal believers is completely bogus. So the idea that our own statistics say 90% are word of faith, just look at all of the major denominations and all the major organizations, and you'll have a very small percentage that would identify as word of faith. That's one thing. And the other thing is this. Yes, we believe that God heals the sick today. Yes, we believe that when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that includes redemption for the whole human being, some of which we see in this world, the rest of which we see in the world to come, but that we can pray with expectation for physical healing, that gifts of healing exist. Yeah, sure, we believe that. We believe God meets our needs so that we can be a blessing to others. I think most Christians believe that. But the idea that the vast majority, 90% of Christians worldwide, believe in, quote, name it and claim it, that 90% of Christians worldwide believe that Jesus died to make you financially rich? Come on. Look, attack the errors. By all means, attack the errors. By all means, expose the errors. by all means, address things that are false. I've done the same. I've done the same and will continue to do so. But when you paint with such a broad brush that is so inaccurate, it discredits the larger argument that you're bringing. I want to play some more audio clips when we come back and share more from my article. I've got 5 specific points of rebuttal that need to be made to Pastor MacArthur's book, actually toying with the idea of writing an ebook to respond to it if time permits. We'll be back with your calls, 866-348-7884.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you as we discuss in a constructive way, but with serious, grave concerns, things that will be shared at Pastor John MacArthur's Strange Fire Conference that begins tomorrow. Again, reached out to him every way I knew how to have a private meeting. Which even call, better yet, for a discussion with him and other leaders to sit down face to face and open the Word together and seek God together. Those requests have been declined. And of course, I'd welcome a public debate. If you know someone who is a cessationist, a scholar, leading pastor, that'd be willing to come on the air with me or have a public debate in a way that would be civil and Jesus-honoring, I would love to do it. Do it in a heartbeat so that we can advance the truth of God. I believe in the gifts and power of the Spirit because I am a sola scriptura person, because I believe in the authority of Scripture. I don't follow Jewish tradition or church tradition in a binding way. I follow Scripture, and because of Scripture, I'm convinced that the gifts and power of the Spirit are for today. Listen, friends, in the late 70s, early 80s, I tried to get away from it. I had seen some wrong things in a church where I was saved. I had had some disappointing experiences myself. And of course, where I was saved, I got grounded in God in so many wonderful ways, but there were other things that didn't line up to me, disappointment of prayers not answered and different things like that. And, you know, it just seemed small-minded. Yeah, I was getting my PhD and all this Pentecostal stuff, you know, be more sophisticated to not speak in tongues and so on. Well, I couldn't deny what Scripture said. I got B.B. Warfield's Counterfeit Miracles book. I got Robert Gromacki's Modern Tongues Movement. And the more I looked at it and kept reading Scripture, I thought, I can't deny what Scripture says. Scripture makes clear that the gifts and power of the Spirit are to continue till today. Doesn't mean everything done in the name of the Holy Spirit's accurate. Doesn't mean you don't have some real nonsense going on, especially on some Christian TV. However, does mean that if we go by the Word, if you come to the same conclusions I do, you'll end up believing in the gifts and power of the Spirit for today. And then in my own life, when I'd spend more quality time with God in prayer, I'd find myself praying in tongues as part of my deep communion with the Lord. So scripturally, and then experientially, I couldn't deny what the Holy Spirit is doing. And then worldwide, you cannot deny what He's doing, because here, let me make it simple. Flesh gives birth to flesh. If something is fleshly, it will not produce genuine disciples. You can have a cult, you can have deceived people, but you won't have genuine disciples. There are millions and millions and millions and millions of genuine disciples of Jesus who have been saved by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, drawing them to Jesus, miracles, other things that took place. They love the Word. They are serious disciples. They're living holy lives. The flesh can't do that. And they are continuing in charismatic Pentecostal beliefs and practices. You say, well, it's Satan. Well, no, Satan can't drive out Satan. He can do counterfeit things, but Satan cannot drive out Satan. So unless Satan got saved and is now having this amazing conversion work around the world, when people cast down their idols and they turn away from Islam and they turn away from Hinduism and Buddhism and atheism and terrorism and prostitution and drugs and whatever else it is, when they renounce their old way of life, when they say Jesus is Lord and give themselves to follow Him, begin to declare the good news to the people where they live, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we should honor it rather than despise it. Clip number 2.
And this is what their leaders say, and I just picked out some of the leaders of this movement who have the largest influence. One is a man named Creflo Dollar, a flashy prosperity preacher down in Georgia who last summer was arrested for punching and choking his 15-year-old daughter. He says this, quote, "If Jesus came as God, then why did God have to anoint him? Jesus came as man. That's why it's legal to anoint him. God doesn't need anointing. He is anointing. Jesus came as man, and at age 30, God gave us an example of what a man with the anointing could do. So he's a man until he's 30, and because he's a good man, he's made a God."
First, I have no desire whatsoever to defend Pastor Creflo Dollar. He stands and falls to God, but I absolutely differ with some of his prosperity preaching. Let me make that plain. Second, the reference to what happened with him and his daughter, that strikes me as more fitting for the National Enquirer than for public preaching. Shall I raise the latest scandal with a Baptist pastor to discredit Baptists or something? Please. Third, if I rightly understood what Creflo Dollar was saying, his point was simply this. His point was that Jesus did not perform his miracles as God, but by the anointing of the Spirit. Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit's on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor." In Luke 4, in Luke 11, Matthew 12, he says that he drives out demons by the Spirit of God. That's the point they're making. Now, is he actually saying that Jesus was not the divine Son of God on the earth? If so, then that's heretical. Of course, I reject it as well. But I don't even think he was saying that. But either way, what's that got to do with 99% of Pentecostals and Charismatics around the world who didn't dawn on them to deny the deity of Jesus while he was on the earth? Again, that's the concern that I have. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Edwin in Gainesville, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Actually, you know, I guess us, just regular folks, you know, most of all that we see out there as far as TV and internet, you know, it's just this false movement, you know, these of charismatics. And it's so prominent that I think it takes a prominent person like MacArthur to counterbalance it. Yeah, it may not be perfect, you know, in his argument, but, you know, just like Wesley and Whitfield when they were talking about Calvinism, you know, Wesley said some things that Whitfield thought were extreme, but maybe it was necessary at the time because of how prominent Calvinism was.
See, the problem was, though, that the followers got terribly divided over it. Even though Wesley and Whitfield reconciled, it could have been so much more powerful if they worked together. The other thing is, I'm on TV. I'm charismatic. Jack Hayford's on TV. He's charismatic. There are plenty of others on radio, TV, some of the finest Christian leaders in the nation. David Jeremiah just spoke at a conference for Jim Cimbala, Brooklyn Tabernacle, who's Pentecostal charismatic. Why not be accurate? See, being inaccurate doesn't help anything. So yes, Edwin, by all means, let's expose issues. But I've been addressing these things too. Others in the charismatic movement have been addressing these things too. So people with prominence as well. I would love to say amen to what Pastor MacArthur is doing, except it's more destructive than helpful, and it absolutely throws out a beautiful, holy baby with a little dirty bathwater. Thanks for the call. All right, we've got time for a bunch more calls. I'm going to continue to talk about this the next 90 minutes, so stay with us. 866-34-TRUTH. And if you want to be edified, encouraged, have your faith built, and have a somber warning about the powers of darkness, get hold of our DVD, From Son of Sam to Son of Hope, the story of the conversion of the most notorious serial killer in New York history, transformed into a meek follower of Jesus by the power of the Spirit. It's yours for your gift of support of any size, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Stand with us as we stand on the front lines.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for being part of the broadcast today, 866-348-7884. We're talking about the conference that starts tomorrow, led by Pastor John MacArthur. Team, I've reached out publicly and privately asking for face-to-face meeting to discuss our differences. I know he's busy. Hey, I'm busy too. Thus far, my requests have been denied. However, we'll continue to address the issues. Why? Because we don't need the division that is coming over them. And we all need the work of the Holy Spirit. 866-348-7884. I will be going to the phones shortly, but I want to lay out a few more things of importance. Are there abuses and strange practices that go unchecked in charismatic churches? Often, yes. And you see the most extreme of them on TV sometimes. Now, I don't get invited to preach at those churches, bear in mind. I have preached at quite a few mega churches. And if you think of some of the leading churches in greater New York, if you think of churches like Times Square Church and Brooklyn Tabernacle with track records of decades and decades, just to name a couple, don't take anything by the fact that I don't name others, but with decades of a solid track record and disciples made, and in some cases other churches planted, and Christ-centered, Jesus-exalting preaching, and strong standards of holiness. Well, why not focus on that? Why not focus on, what the Holy Spirit's done in Africa? Oh, yeah, there are abuses and extremes. Yes, there are. But I was checking into a hotel in Raleigh, North Carolina, Thursday night, getting ready to minister over the weekend, and the gentleman checking me in is around midnight. I had an African accent. I said, "Where are you from?" "Kenya." I said, "Oh, I was in Kenya in 1989. And I mentioned the evangelist meetings that I attended at that time. And he said, "Oh, yes, yes." He said, "We were let off school." He said that his entire school was let out. They canceled classes so that they could go to the gospel meetings. And I said, "Did it have a positive effect on you?" He said, "Oh, yes." He said, "Many lives were changed." And when we were there in Kenya in 89 and saw the effects of this one evangelist ministry, and literally everyone we talked to in the city of Nairobi, Kenya, be it someone at a little restaurant or a gas station or rental car place or a person on the street, everyone we talked to said that they either knew someone or they witnessed in front of their eyes a miracle that had taken place in Jesus' name. One man said, yeah, a woman who couldn't walk came back to the village walking and created a stir. What was the stir about? About Jesus. About Jesus. And people turned to him. And they turned away from sin. Why not rejoice in this? My friend Craig Keener, one of the world's foremost New Testament scholars and charismatic himself, has written an extraordinary two-volume study called Miracles. It's being highly praised by philosophers, exegetes, religious leaders around the world, and he goes through the philosophical arguments against the miraculous. He goes through the New Testament witness, and then he discusses what is happening around the world in meticulous detail. And he said, you'd have to deny the testimony of perhaps 200 million people. So yes, there are some abuses and extremes, and then there are other practices that just may be different. Hey, look, you like certain food, I don't. Something's a delicacy to you, you give it to me, I choke on it. The same thing with different practices. I was at an installation service for Dr. Richard Landis, the new president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, last Thursday before driving to Raleigh, North Carolina, and it was in First Baptist Church, and I noticed in the choir some of the members of First Baptist raising their hands. And, well, why not? It's biblical. But look, let's say this. Even if you have some extreme and unbiblical practices in some charismatic Pentecostal circles, I'm sure they exist and we try to deal with them, you got a lot of unbiblical practices in non-charismatic churches, plus plenty of spiritual deadness. Shouldn't that be the greater concern?
Yeah. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I'm going to the phones momentarily. 866-34-TRUTH. Look at this testimony from Daniel. I was born and raised in a Baptist church where MacArthur and his dogma was taught. This is as he's writing it. Sadly, I was a victim of sexual rape, physical abuse, and mental trauma. To this, I have left such denomination due to living in that world for nearly 17 years. From the practice of such teaching, this led to assaults of this kind. I am no fan of MacArthur. I left the Baptist denomination and found life again in a spirit-filled, charismatic church. Did we see flaw? Do we find people struggling? Yes, but there has been grace to restore those. Was the Bible taught? Absolutely. I learned more about the Bible than I did any of the years I was in a Baptist church. Though I appreciate many of the Baptist values, I do believe that denominations are flawed because they're run by men, and on and on. All that to say, everybody's got a story. God forbid I write off all Baptists based on this, or call for a war against Baptists, as Pastor MacArthur has called for collective war against charismatics. And God forbid I blame John MacArthur for the abuse that this man could. That'd be utterly insane to connect them in any way. And how many people have I heard from that got so much hungrier for the word after coming into the things of the Spirit? In fact, Joey, clip number 18 I want to play, and then we're going to the phones right after that. I've regularly met people who, once they were touched by the Spirit, got much hungrier for the word and spent much more time studying the word and living in the word than before. 866-34-TRUTH. This is Pastor Steve Lawson. I actually quote him in my Hyper Grace book. I got this book on Jonathan Edwards and was enjoying it. So I'm sure he's got a lot of stuff to say that I would say absolutely amen to. But again, it's these gross overstatements, and he's one of the principal speakers at the Strange Fire Conference. Here's what he says.
I think the fundamental flaw of the charismatic movement is their depreciation of the Word of God itself, the written Word of God. They do this, first of all, by adding other revelation to the written Word of God. And for every supposed dream and vision that they add to their message, they are watering down their exclusive devotion to the written Word of God. That's at the heart of this issue. And so that's why with Strange Fire, we are so devoted to want to speak to this issue, to bring us back to the Word of God. And I will say this, every great movement in church history has always been predicated by coming back to the standard of Scripture, the standard of Scripture.
All right, number one, the Scriptures tell us about the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit for today. That's the number one reason I believe, whether I see the sick healed or not, whether I spoke in tongues or not. It's because of what the Word says, I hold to these things. My doctoral dissertation was on the Hebrew word for healing. I then expanded that work into my book, Israel's Divine Healer. If you want a solid academic study of the subject, get the book. We don't offer it on the radio because it's too technical and academic, but get the book, Israel's Divine Healer, and see if we get into the Word. And then secondly, he would have to say, Pastor Lawson would have to say, that the moving of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts took away from the Word. I mean, if it's true today, it'd be true then. No, to the contrary, when the Holy Spirit moves in your life, you get hungrier and thirstier for the Word. And there's no new revelation being added. If I was praying about a decision to make, which publisher to work with on a book or to expand our radio network, and I felt the Lord led me in a certain way, or there were even prophetic words about it, that doesn't add to the revelation of Scripture. 866-34-TRUTH. To the phones, Anne in Huntersville, North Carolina. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Michael. I just wanted to say I'm a born-again Christian, and my pastor years ago was a born-again Presbyterian preacher, Lloyd Ogilvie at Hollywood Presbyterian Church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ironic to me because John MacArthur is as extreme as the ones he's criticizing, and I know you have a respect for him, but this broad brushstroke, you know, assessment of the charismatic movement was just shocking to me when I heard him, what he said. And yes, there are errors that drives me nuts. the Word of Faith prosperity doctrine. I don't like it either. But the thing I'm learning is that God uses imperfect people, including John MacArthur.
And
I'll
me.
Be honest, though, at
and
this
me.
Point, I can't listen. Yeah, and you and me.
Right. Now, look, that doesn't excuse doctrinal error. But I say that the rejection of the gifts and power of the Spirit for today is a fundamental and serious doctrinal error, because this is, number one, scriptural, and number two, something that God is using to bring people to Jesus. The other thing, Ann, that's interesting, and thank you for the call and the observations. I appreciate that. The other thing that's interesting is this. Yes, there have been notable scandals in the charismatic Pentecostal movement to this day. Shall I name some of the famous TV preachers who fell in the 80s and some who fell in the 2000s? Yes, it's terribly grievous. It's terribly grievous. And it needs to be pointed out. And all of us, me first, all of us, we need to search our own hearts and humble ourselves before God and be people of the Word and people of holiness. And when I look at this, though, the common denominator is not charismatic teaching. Look, there's one particular cessationist group of a particular ethnic background where the big church pastors are well known for having babies out of wedlock. And I'm not going to mention names and groups because I don't want to slam a whole group or a whole people group or a whole denomination, but that's what Pastor MacArthur does. In point of fact, although there were scandals attached to the name Charles Parham, one of the early Pentecostal leaders, whether they're accurate or not, I don't know, but let's just say they were accurate, the charges against him. This was a holiness movement. The early Pentecostals believed that you could not be baptized and speak in tongues until you had first been baptized in holiness and were living a holy life, and that if you were, you know, so much as smoking cigarettes, that the Holy Spirit would not baptize you. Could they have been caught up in some legalism? Could be. You couldn't accuse them of low standards. And in point of fact, I'm watching people post their testimonies. I can't read most of what's being posted, but how when the Holy Spirit filled them and changed them, they got set free from different sins as well. So even though the principal ministry of the Spirit that we talk about here in terms of charismatic in nature is empowerment for witness to glorify Jesus, you will receive the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses. The fact is, many of us, me included, have had life-transforming experiences that led to holiness of heart and love for the Word because of the work of the Spirit in our lives. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Nancy in Manhattan. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you? I if you had about 3 hours, I could tell you all the things that the Holy Spirit has done in my life. But having said that, I came from the teaching where I guess it was sort of cessationist in the sense that I got the impression as a young girl that God essentially wound up the clock and let it go kind of thing. And, you know, I myself was healed by people who, by the way, came out of the prosperity gospel, but they also encouraged me to read the Word. And as I read the Word, I realized that some stuff wasn't exactly correct, but they were right about a lot of the things, particularly the gifts in the Holy Spirit. And I'm still walking with the Lord now. This is better than 30 years later.
Yeah. And so the fruit of the Spirit of people who believed in the gifts and power of the Spirit for today ministering to you touches your life, and 30 years later, you're walking with the Lord. And by the way, understand that while there are definitely errors in the carnal prosperity movement, I have a whole chapter in my book, How Saved Are We?, devoted to rebuking errors in the carnal prosperity movement. In point of fact, some of it was a reaction against the view that the holier you were, the poorer you were. And certainly we see promises of provision as we give and honor the Lord, as we sow in generosity, he's generous towards us. The error of the carnal prosperity movement is to make it about us and not about the advancing of the gospel. The error of the carnal prosperity movement is to preach, get what you desire in this world, you know, confess your Bentley or Cadillac, whatever the vehicle is, and you'll have it, whereas our heart and mind should be on Jesus and heavenly things. And if he blesses us with a nice car or a nice home or not, that does not define the quality of our lives. And our desire, our goal is to glorify the Lord and to be good stewards. So the New Testament doesn't take away any of the promises that God meets our needs. Rather, it puts the emphasis on not storing up earthly treasures and giving with generosity to help a poor and hurting and dying world. But yes, yes, many who have an extreme view and preach a carnal prosperity message have some things right as well. Rather than write them off as heretics, let's try to help them get more mainstream with their teaching. Back with some more audio clips, quotes, and your calls. Stay with us.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This October, we're going to be having a conference on strange fire that takes a look at the false worship coming from the charismatic movement. It's not a conference about styles or preferences in worship. This is about honoring the Holy Spirit rather than blaspheming him. The judgment of God fell on those two priests who brought that unacceptable worship. The message for us today, worship is a very serious matter. How you come before a holy God is the most important thing you will ever do. Be a part of our conference and find out what is acceptable to him.
Yeah, well, I can say that the statements that Pastor MacArthur is making against charismatic brothers and sisters and against the moving of the Spirit today are not acceptable. They're not scriptural. They're not accurate. They're harmful more than helpful. And I say this with respect and honor towards Pastor MacArthur, whom I recognize as an elder, an older brother in the Lord, and who I've reached out to a number of times for a private meeting, which has not happened. Pastor MacArthur claims, quote, as a movement, they, charismatics, have persistently ignored the truth about the Holy Spirit with reckless license, set up an idol spirit in the house of God, blaspheming the third member of the Trinity in his own name. He expresses this on video and explicitly in his book. And he is thereby accusing hundreds of millions of believers of blaspheming the Spirit, thereby pronouncing them to be sinners damned to hell, since blasphemy of the Spirit is an unforgivable sin. Mark 3:29 and elsewhere. If you haven't read my article, A Final Appeal to Pastor John MacArthur on the Eve of a Strange Fire Conference, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click on latest article. Since it has come out, it's been shared almost 7,000 times. Just since we've been doing the broadcast this hour, shared it almost a couple thousand times just within this hour, just on one website alone. My goal is to be constructive rather than destructive. And when Pastor MacArthur will point out some bizarre extreme, like somebody barking like a dog or getting high on the Holy Ghost, token the ghost, things that, number one, I've ever seen in my life. Number two, where I've seen a video of this, we've renounced it on the air. And number three, it's unknown to 99.999% of charismatic Pentecostals around the world. Yet that gets singled out, mentioned in the book, as if this is what happens in all of our services and meetings. It would be like me condemning all Baptists because of what Fred Phelps does with his God Hates Fag signs, and he's a Baptist. It's just as wrong and just as off base and just as harmful. 866-34-TRUTH. To the phones, David in College Park, Maryland. Hey, David, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, I've listened to you. I used to, I'm sort of one of those that sort of like, I guess you say, left the charismatic. There's so many movement because of, they go over the same verses over again. If you have faith to as a mustard seed, and they go over the same in Acts, the same verses, and it's like if you have something, God can't use anything. Everything bad is from the devil, and everything good is from God. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, Well, let me ask you this though: when I was a Calvinist from '77 to '82, One of the frustrations I had was that they all kept talking about the same verses and teaching on the same stuff over and over and over. I found that in so many different groups. And I know other charismatic churches, say Calvary Chapel, they're mildly charismatic. They preach through the entire Bible by custom. I think you've had some bad experiences with some, but when you say they, that's where I have to differ. You know what I'm saying? That may not apply to 90% of charismatic churches worldwide, and yet you say they as if it might. You follow me?
Well, I went to a lot of different charismatic churches in the late 80s, around the 80s, in Montgomery County, as a matter of fact, and a lot of them did preach prosperity, and when I learned more about, I could tell, a regular fundamentalist church, I learned more about the Bible, and do you see what I'm saying, that God couldn't use people like Job or even King Nebuchadnezzar, anybody in the Old Testament, because, oh, they've been, or Paul, what he went through, because, oh, Paul had sin in his life. Why didn't you pray for him and cast out the demon?
Yeah, well, but okay, David, here's the deal. I've been in charismatic Pentecostal circles for 42 years, okay? I lived in Montgomery County, Maryland for 9 years, from 87 to 96, and I know many of the charismatic Pentecostal churches in Montgomery County. And I've never in my life heard anyone say that Paul had sin in his life and needed a demon cast out of him, and that's why he was sick. I've never heard that.
I'm not sure if it's one of those churches, but I have heard it before. And also, somebody, when I was first became a believer, somebody told me that if you didn't speak in tongues, you're not saved.
Right. But again, that's really unfortunate. It's unfortunate. I'm sorry you've had that experience. And if you're growing in the Lord and growing in the Word of God where you are, great, more power to you. All I'm saying is it's like there was a McDonald's somewhere where somebody found a rat tail in some of their food. Well, that doesn't mean that all McDonald's serve rat tail with their food, you know? The fact that there was a leader with Southern Baptist Convention associated with a scandal doesn't mean all Southern Baptists are wrong. The fact that, here, look, Pastor MacArthur preaches Lordship Salvation. I'm with him on that. I've quoted him in that regard over the years. Well, most of the people he's combating who don't hold to Lordship Salvation are in cessationist churches, non-charismatic churches. So why not write all of them off? So David, all I'm saying is you're painting with too broad a brush, just as Pastor MacArthur. But keep growing in Jesus. Pray for me to do the same. And just say to God, Lord, I want everything you have for me so I can serve you more effectively. I want everything you have for me so I can be a greater witness for you. Pray that for me, Pastor MacArthur, yourself, and then whatever the word says, let's go after it. But David, thank you for the call, and I'm sorry for bad experiences you did have. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to keep on this subject the next hour, so even if you're not going to be able to listen on the air, by all means, call in, and we'll continue this discussion. The entire show will be archived on my website, so listen to it later. AskDrBrown.org later today. Just click on the latest audio. I have a word of encouragement from Psalm 112, reading from the Hebrew Scriptures. We posted that. You can watch that and be edified. Just click on latest video when you're on the website, and then click on latest article to read my final appeal to Pastor John MacArthur on the eve of his Strange Fire conference, which starts tomorrow. And if you want to see the real power of Satan, his destructive work in someone's life, and how Jesus can redeem in a radical way, I want to commend to you the DVD that our ministry put out, From Son of Sam to Son of Hope, The Story of David Berkowitz. It's an amazing video to watch. You'll be stirred. It's only $15 plus postage, but it's yours for your gift of any size. So stand with us. Help us as we're on the front lines together. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Or if you're listening on oneplace.com, you can order directly there. My bottom line today, let us be determined to ground our lives on the Word of God, to exalt Jesus with all that is within us, and to ask for the fullness of the Spirit in our lives to be more effective witnesses. Well, Pastor John MacArthur has called for collective war against the charismatic church. How should we respond?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me put forth a riddle for you. All right? Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. A special program today on the eve of Pastor John MacArthur's Strange Fire Conference, which begins tomorrow, next 3 days in California. So I have a little riddle for you. A person came into a church meeting. In this meeting, someone spoke in tongues. Someone claimed to give an interpretation of those tongues. There was prayer for the sick. People were called up that were sick for prayer for healing. And some of them claimed that the pain they were experiencing or the discomfort left after prayer. And during the service, this lost sinner came in. This person who had been a God mocker and actually came in to mock the Holy Spirit, because he had heard about people in the service. Some would shake. Some would say that they were overcome by the Spirit, even fell to the ground. Some said that the Lord gave them a dream and showed them things in a dream by the Spirit. So he'd heard about this stuff. He came in to mock. And while in the meeting, he became overwhelmed himself. He found himself shaking because he realized he was in some type of supernatural presence. He suddenly saw himself as a terribly guilty sinner in the sight of a holy God and realized that these people he was mocking genuinely knew the Lord. And as the pastor was preaching, he cried out, "God, have mercy on me." It was a little disruptive, but he cried out, "God, have mercy on me," and collapsed on the ground and lay there shaking for an hour, after which he got up, talked to the pastor and leaders, committed himself to follow Jesus, came in the next day with a bag filled with drug paraphernalia, and said, "I've been dealing drugs, I'm throwing this away," then went to the police to say, "I have to report that I was guilty of some crimes in the neighborhood, breaking into some homes. I'm now a follower of Jesus." And after dealing with the police and the law, eventually went into Bible school, seminary, studying the scriptures, and is now a missionary serving Jesus and making disciples in different parts of the world. Now, what happened to that person? Was it the work of the devil? No. Because the devil doesn't lead people to true repentance. Because the devil does not glorify Jesus. Because the devil does not produce true conviction of sin. The devil does not produce holiness of life. And the devil does not lead people to submission to the Word of God. Jonathan Edwards, the great theologian of the Great Awakening in America in the 1700s and one of the foremost philosophers in American history, whose works are still studied to this day, understood these things. That you can't judge by someone falling or shaking or crying out. That's not how you make judgment. Rather, you see if Jesus is glorified, if people are drawn to repentance in the scriptures and are living a holy, renewed life. You say, "Well, maybe it's just the flesh, emotionalism." Well, the flesh and emotionalism doesn't have the power to change lives like that. Now, I gave you here a fictional account, but it is identical to real life stories that I have heard over the years. Who did the work? It was the Holy Spirit. And the Bible never tells us to make a judgment based on whether someone speaks in tongues or not, or whether someone shakes or not. The Bible tells us to judge based on the testimony of Scripture, the glorification of Jesus, and the ongoing fruit in someone's life. Let's correct abuses, let's stand together to address what's wrong, and let's embrace the work of the Spirit today.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. We're talking about concerns leading up to Pastor John MacArthur's Strange Fire Conference. I've sought to meet with him privately for months, or with him and other leaders together. That has not happened. Those requests have been denied either by Pastor MacArthur or his team. We're all busy, but people on his team have read what I've written. They know my concerns. They know the desire I have to work towards greater unity in Jesus and not destroy. Still, that door is closed. I do have an advanced reader's copy of the book, Strange Fire, which reiterates things that have already been said on video by Pastor MacArthur. And the speakers for the conference have been putting out blog statements or short videos leading up to it. So we have a good idea of what is coming. Joey, let's play clip number three, and then we'll go to the phones.
Kenneth Copeland, also ubiquitous in the Christian media, says this, and I quote, "Why didn't Jesus openly proclaim himself as God during his 33 years on earth? For one single reason. He hadn't come to earth as God. He'd come as a man."
Now, again, I have no more desire to defend Pastor Kenneth Copeland than I have to defend Pastor Creflo Dollar, who was quoted in the last hour. And if he is denying that Jesus was the divine Son of God on the earth, then he is in very serious error there. But even if he is, he doesn't speak for the vast majority of charismatics and Pentecostals. He doesn't. And if that is his position, if that's an accurate understanding of what he's saying, as opposed to he did not function on the earth as fully God, but as man. In other words, he had to eat, he had to sleep, he performed miracles by the power of the Spirit. If he meant something other than that, even if he did, that does not speak for the vast majority of charismatic Pentecostal believers. Go to all of the school. There are plenty. There are tons of Bible colleges and schools, ministry training schools, and even universities and even seminaries that are charismatic Pentecostal. Find out their doctrinal statements. Look at the major charismatic Pentecostal denominations. They all fully affirm the deity of Jesus. So even if Kenneth Copeland meant what Pastor MacArthur is taking him to make, he cannot rightly damn the entire charismatic movement or what he calls, quote, a farce and a scam, a false church as dangerous as any cult or heresy that has ever assaulted Christianity. I'm quoting him directly. And he calls for a collective war against these alleged pervasive abuses on the Spirit of God. That's what I find so grievous. And that's where I appeal to Pastor MacArthur. You could do so much more good than harm by standing with hundreds of millions of fine charismatic Christians, followers of Jesus around the world, and standing with the multiplied tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of godly leaders, many of whom could teach you something just as they've taught me and just as you've taught me. 866-34-TRUTH. To the phones, Jay in Manhattan. Thanks for holding and welcome to The Line of Fire.
Oh, hi, Pastor. Your fictional story sounds like Nikki Cruz.
Yeah, I'll tell you, as I was telling it, I was thinking of so many people whom I know personally, some of whom are missionaries out on the field with us now, who were touched in very similar ways. And some of them, by the way, had been in traditional churches. They had been in non-charismatic and cessationist churches up to that point, and they were only further away from the Lord. And when they came in circles where the Holy Spirit was moving, they were dramatically transformed. But back to you, sir.
Okay. I've done some of the things that Jesus spoke about in Mark 16, but I've gotten into heated discussions with some major ministries where they say that Pastor Saeed and Pastor Yusuf Nazir Khan are not real Christians, because if they're real Christians, they wouldn't have been incarcerated because they didn't have enough faith not to be incarcerated. They said that the people in Libya who were being killed and in Syria, they said they're not real Christians because they wouldn't be killed. And they start quoting Isaiah 54:17, you know.
No weapon formed against you will prosper. That's obscene. That is absolutely obscene.
Even said, you know, like, I don't even remember, I'm autistic. and they started saying that I was the devil.
Yeah, no, that's horrific. In fact, I wrote a poem mocking this viewpoint years ago.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'm going to read it. But Jay, thanks for sharing. But look, again, that's obscene, someone saying that. We are promised persecution and suffering for Jesus. But many charismatics and Pentecostals would say that's different, say, from getting cancer. In other words, if you have cancer, you pray for healing. And you say, you don't think and assume, well, this cancer on my child must be a gift from God. No, you say, how did Jesus deal with sickness and disease? He healed it, right? He healed sickness. He healed disease. He drove out demons, which were sometimes associated with sickness and disease. What about persecution? He promised us persecution. And he himself was nailed to a cross. And we also know that there are people in this world that don't get healed. Doesn't mean they're less loved by God. So anyone who says that Christians being persecuted today or dying for their faith don't have enough faith, that person doesn't have enough faith. So I got no problem blasting these things. I have for years. But that doesn't mean I because I hear some bizarre thing, but I don't care how big the ministry is, bizarre and wrong, am I going to damn everybody else over that? Here's a poem I wrote years ago. Persecuted saints? Oh, no, not in our day. We're the enlightened church. We found a better way to preach the gospel message while getting no one mad. We leave out God the judge and just speak of God the dad. We major on the promises. We're positive to the max. We want the sinner to feel at home. We help them to relax. We're strong on self-acceptance. We build the ego up. We're here to make you happy. So come to church and sup. You'll find such tasty dainties. Each meal will be so sweet. Nothing will upset you. The sermon will be a treat. Sunday morning is the best show designed to entertain with every detail chosen to spare the rebel pain. We've cut out all those nasty words, hell, repent, and sin. Our pastor's slick with such finesse, even his wardrobe's in. He's not the John the Baptist type, rabbit and out of control, raving and foaming at the mouth like some frenzied droll. Our church is for the family, with fashion shows and fun and bowling, tennis, swimming too, plus cruises in the sun. We're socially acceptable. We adapt and change our hue. We're sensitive to our culture. Like chameleons, we're true blue. Oh, away from us, you dreary ones, with your talk of self-denial. Jesus already bore the cross. Now we can live in style. The Savior's not offensive. He only gives good things. He makes us rich and prosperous so we can reign as kings. Suffering, hardship, martyrdom, they're really not for us. We're giving out the good news. There's no need for all the fuss. Persecution comes from lack of faith when saints don't know the word. Poor Stephen might be alive today if our message he'd only heard. That's a poem I wrote over 20 years ago, speaking about these ridiculous, unbiblical extremes. Yet this doesn't cause me to reject what the Holy Spirit is gloriously doing around the world today or reject the testimony of Scripture that the gifts and power of the Spirit are for today. 866-34-TRUTH. Harry in Chester, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Shalom, Dr. Brown. I've heard about this John MacArthur because about his view on against Pentecostals and Charismatics, and I personally believe they're truly wrong. Matter of fact, 4 years ago on Yom Kippur, I was saved at a Hispanic Pentecostal church, and I once held a cessationist view. As a matter of fact, I was so cessationist, I did not believe that Yeshua will appear upon sinners like us until I saw him not only once, but twice. And the only way I can explain that glory to you, my brother in Christ, is written in Isaiah 6 and Revelation chapter 1 and chapter 4. The experience was so great, sir, that I felt I was going to die. And I repented of my sins right then and there, and I accepted Yeshua as my only Lord and Master right then and there.
What has happened to your life as far as how you view God and how you view sin because of that experience?
Ever since then, I've been heavily persecuted, both Christians and Jews as well. Many Christians that are cessationist or traditional, like the traditional Baptists, think I'm crazy.
What about your own life as far as how you're living? Do you kind of feel you can do whatever in the world you want? God will bless it. Do you have a fear of the Lord? How do you live?
Oh, I have a fear for the God of Israel. Like, ever since that I've been radically saved, I rejected my sin of pornography. I've been freed by that.
Hey, Harry, gotta jump in, but you're saying exactly what I expected. Did he have a vision of Jesus? God's the judge of that, but he's now a committed follower of Jesus, and he fears the Lord, and he's turned from pornography. Who did that?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I saw this comment posted following my article, which has been shared 7,300 times already just on one website in the last few hours. A final appeal to Pastor John MacArthur on the eve of his Strange Fire Conference, which starts tomorrow. 866-348-7884. My goal is to be constructive, not destructive, to call for a deeper unity around the Word of God and around the work of the Holy Spirit. But Donna posted this. A pastor attended a minister's conference last week at the Brooklyn Tabernacle. He reiterated a story told by one of the guest speakers, Dr. David Jeremiah. Yes, a Baptist at a charismatic minister's conference. Dr. Jeremiah is one of my favorite Bible teachers. I am Pentecostal. She says Dr. Jeremiah tells the story of once when he was battling cancer and asked his family to contact Brooklyn Tabernacle and ask them to pray. I'm sure that seems strange to some. His reason? We know how to pray those folks get a hold of God. So in his view, these people at Brooklyn Tabernacle knew how to get a hold of God, and he valued that. I value what the Spirit is doing around the world, bringing people to repentance, glorifying Jesus. Look, miracles that are done in the name of Jesus to the glory of God are wonderful, and we should rejoice. They draw people to God. In fact, there are some statistics here that I have from Pew Research, just from 2011. Pew Research Religion and Public Life Project, Global Survey of Evangelical Protestant Leaders. Look at this. Look at this. 9 in 10, 90% reject the so-called prosperity gospel, the notion that God will grant wealth and good health to those who have enough faith. So they reject this. 90% of worldwide Protestant evangelical leaders. The evangelical leaders overwhelmingly express positive views of Pentecostal Christians. 92% favorable, 8% unfavorable. Catholics, 76% favorable, 24% unfavorable. Jews, 75% favorable. Okay, so they have positive views of wide groups of people. I'm not saying they agree with all of them. But roughly half or more of the global evangelical leaders surveyed reported that they have experienced or witnessed a divine healing, 76%. So while they reject what they feel is a carnal prosperity message or a guaranteed health for all believers message, 76% either experienced or witnessed a divine healing. 61% said they received a direct revelation from God, and 47% said they spoke in tongues. So the idea that these false doctrines are just pervasive through all of the charismatic movement, it's just blatantly false. What is false is to deny what the Spirit is doing. This is Pastor MacArthur's view of the history of the Pentecostal movement.
The Pentecostal church, with its claim of miracles and healing and signs and wonders, was contained. It never spread to the mainline church. It was always seen as aberrant, its theology aberrant. But when an Episcopalian got the experience, it jumped out of its containment. Then the phenomena started being embraced, and you had very strong leaders coming out and demanding that the evangelical church embrace them. And I knew at the time the deadly character of this, because once you give a place to bad theology, then theology is no longer an issue. Once you corrupt worship, then worship is going to fall to the lowest tolerable level.
Isn't it a fact that the most consistent, passionate, devoted worship is generally found in charismatic Pentecostal circles? Vance Havner, Baptist evangelist, used to say, "We Baptists start at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull." And yet some of the most wonderful Jesus-exalting music being produced around the world is being produced in charismatic Pentecostal circles. And I've been in gatherings that have gone on for hours and hours, people worshiping the Lord. No, not rolling on the floor and climbing the walls and barking like dogs. Worshiping the Lord in biblical forms, hands raised, sometimes dancing, jumping, shouting before the Lord as all scriptural ways of expressing ourselves before Him. I'm a Bible person. That's why I embrace those things. But boy, I've been in so many wonderful services where Jesus has been exalted. And all I can do is literally get on my face in adoration for Him in charismatic Pentecostal circles, according to Pastor MacArthur. This is a counterfeit worship. It's a shame. It's a shame to have those views when you could have so much influence to draw people into what the Spirit is doing. Let's go to Jose in Bergenfield, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. It's nice calling you again and speaking with you on this topic once more.
Thank you.
I just want to clarify for your audience. I've been engaging these people for years now, and especially the last, I would say, year and a half, because they oppose much of the messianic also movement as well, many of them. And what you're seeing now is just the fruit of what needs to happen before the return of the Messiah. This is part of that falling away, I believe, in my opinion, and I'll explain to you why. These people are attacking the church. They're attacking the body of Messiah. These are shepherds within our camp who are now attacking the camp and claiming wholesale, as Dr. MacArthur is doing, wholesale, that we are now blaspheming the Holy Spirit because we're attributing, according to him, and he's quoted by Brandon House, he's quoted by several others, according to him, we are now attributing the works of Satan to the Holy Spirit. The opposite of what the Pharisees did. This is rank heresy. This man is playing with fire. He doesn't even realize it. He's fulfilling Scripture. Part of what's happening now is a falling away and apostasy. These are wolves in sheep's clothing.
I'm sorry. I just need to jump in because we've got a break coming up. My hope is that Pastor MacArthur, in saying these things, in calling charismatic leaders Satan's false teachers, spiritual swindlers, con men, crooks, and charlatans, to quote him directly, to accuse hundreds of millions of charismatics of blaspheming the Spirit. I hope that he's speaking in ignorance, just as Paul said that he spoke in ignorance and therefore God had mercy on him. Otherwise, yeah, these are very serious things to do, Jose. I agree with you. I will certainly not call him a wolf in sheep's clothing. Certainly not. God forbid. I believe he's done much good for the body and in so many ways points us to Jesus, but he is so sadly on the wrong side of this. And therefore, I address it for the good of the body, for the glory of Jesus, and to encourage the work of the Spirit in our midst, in our lives. We come back. I want to play some of his clips about Satan. But you want to know about the power of Satan today? Get this video. It's our DVD on the life story of David Berkowitz, who is the most notorious serial killer in New York history, the notorious Son of Sam, who gloriously became the Son of Hope through the mercy of God while in prison, where he'll be the rest of his life. It's only $15 plus postage, but it's yours for your gift of support of any size. Help us as you can. We want to send this out to 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, that's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks, friends, for joining us on this very important broadcast today on The Line of Fire. It's the day before Pastor John MacArthur begins his Strange Fire Conference. I have an advanced reader copy of his book, Strange Fire, The Danger of Offending the Holy Spirit with Counterfeit Worship. I can say without a doubt that many of the things written in this book are offensive to the Holy Spirit, deny the glorious work of the Spirit in the lives of hundreds of millions of people, and fail to see how Jesus is being glorified and the Scriptures exalted through what the Spirit is doing. I continue to reach out to Pastor MacArthur privately and publicly to meet together. Thus far, my requests have been denied, and I address these things on the air as a public figure as well, with great respect for my brother and great concern over the fact that the work of the Spirit is being denigrated and denied, and the Scriptures even being misinterpreted to deny what the Spirit is doing today. I absolutely stand with him in renouncing extremes and errors. And I'm not just saying that now. I've done this for years. Read what I've written going back to 1989, End of the American Gospel Enterprise, 1990, How Saved Are We, 1991, Whatever Happened to the Power of God. The subtitle of that is the Charismatic Church Slain in the Spirit or Down for the Count? Look at the careful theology we've produced in my book, Israel's Divine Healer, a book with about 80,000 words of text and 85,000 words of endnotes because it's a serious academic study of what Scripture says about God, the healer. Read recent article of mine on lack of fire, the great sin in the charismatic church. Listen to broadcasts where we've addressed abuses in extreme charismatic Pentecostal circles. So I'm far from being the only one, far from being the only one addressing these things. And here's how I end my article. It's not too late. Well, let me back up a paragraph. And so even though it seems futile at this point, once again, on the eve of the Strange Fire Conference, I appeal to Pastor MacArthur to reconsider his ways, to reexamine what the Word really says about these issues, to travel to the nations and see firsthand what the Spirit is doing, and to sit with charismatic leaders to seek the Lord together for his best for the church and the world. It's not too late, sir, to humble yourself under God's mighty hand. And I humble myself before you as I write these words, reaching out to you once more in the name of Jesus and urging you to recognize and embrace the Spirit's true fire today. Here's what Pastor MacArthur has to say about power over demons.
I remember being at a pastor's conference years ago. I mean, there were like 2,000 pastors there, and it was in a great church. A great pastor as well was leading the conference, and he stood up and called all the men in the auditorium to stand, and he said, "Let us pray." And the first word out of his mouth was, "Satan?" I almost fell out of the balcony. Satan? And then he pronounced on Satan some kind of binding. "We bind you, we forbid you this and that." Jesus could do that. The apostles had power over demons, but that's where it ended.
Whoa, hang on. Okay, I address my prayers to God, not to Satan. I wouldn't expect someone to first address Satan when they're praying. And yeah, within the context, you know, the word does say, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. So sometimes we say, "Satan, we resist you," just as Jesus did. Whoa, the power over demons stopped with the apostles? It's completely unscriptural. That's completely unscriptural. Clip number 11.
And that's why the sons of Sceva in the book of Acts said, "Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you?" when some erstwhile Jews tried to exercise power over demons. Now, we don't tell Satan what to do.
No, that's a complete misapplication of Acts 19. These people didn't know Jesus. That was the issue. Of course we have power over demons. Luke 10:19 remains true for us today in light of Luke 24:49 and Acts 1:8 and Acts 2:39. Wow, that's a surprise.
Games the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And then he pronounced on Satan some kind of binding. We bind you, we forbid you this and that.
All
Jesus
right,
could
all
do
right,
that.
Right.
The apostles.
Okay, look. Here's the question. Where does the New Testament say that we do not have power over demons? Are the weird things that people have done in the name of Jesus having to do with demons? Of course. And the people, you know, they're rebuking the devil when there's no devil there. Sure. Thoughts of their own mind. But doesn't Paul write explicitly in the New Testament that our warfare is with demonic powers? Isn't that what Paul plainly says, Ephesians 6:12, in that whole passage, and that we're put on the armor of God? And where does it say that, here, if the power of the Holy Spirit is given, Acts 2:39, the promise is to you and to your children and all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. What's the promise? Forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the gift of the Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses, and the gift of the Holy Spirit gives us authority over demonic power. Here, Matthew 28:18, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me, therefore go. So we go in his name. In his name, we have authority over demons. Where does the New Testament ever say that we will stop driving out demons before Jesus comes? Show me. If it's in the Bible, I'll embrace it. But it's not. To the contrary. You'd never come up with this just reading Scripture alone. The idea that we don't have authority and power over demons today. That's so much of what really concerns me about Pastor MacArthur's position, and how I wish he would address the abuses in a right context and recognize what God is doing, and where there is weakness, come alongside and strengthen it rather than drive it out and deny it. Let's go to the phones. Robert in Hyattsville, Maryland, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. You know, I just want to say, I want to start out, when God saved me, right before, I mean, minutes, seconds before that happened, people were talking about the Holy Spirit and look at this and look at that, look at things doing this and that. And when he saved me, I looked around the room and I was like, my God, did anybody know what was happening? And then there might have been two or three people around the room going wild about something, but all I knew is I had to run out the room, and because I knew I was going to cry and this, that, and the other thing, and I knew at that point. But, you know, before that, and actually after that, I can't remember because it's been so long. I'd been at church. I think this is the problem about making naming denominations and individuals, because I think things like that can happen. And you know, it's when you get saved, when God saves you, it is a powerful thing. If somebody was flying through the wall or something like that, or rolling around, I would have done the same thing probably. But I was looking. It had never happened to me before, you know.
But you know, look, here's the big thing. And I posted this on my blog some time ago. I have it in my book, Revival Answer Book. Jonathan Edwards, in The Great Awakening, dealt with the fact that there were unusual things that would take place. His own wife would have trances that would last for many hours. People would be crying out in the meeting. Someone would collapse. And are they dead or alive? And there were some abuses. Some people did weird things and went to all kinds of extremes. So the question was, what do we do with this? The question was, how do we judge this? Is this the Holy Spirit or not? And he said, you know, you can't judge by those things. He said, if God wanted us to judge by those things, then he'd give us, as he said, a book of physic, anatomy, rather than spirituality. In other words, you would judge based on, okay, is the person crying or not? You know, the Bible would say, now, if this is really the Holy Spirit, they will shake with the right hand and not the left. Or the left eye will blink and not the right. No, that's, how do you judge? If it is in harmony with fundamental scripture, then you judge based on the fruit in the person's life.
Well, may I say this, though?
Go ahead.
Please. You know, when the people were talking to me, they're saying, look at the, I've ever perfectly, because this is the greatest day of my life. Maybe, I don't know if it'd be greater days, but it all started making sense. I didn't really know what it was exactly, except that I knew and all that stuff. You're all the cliches and that God loved me. This was, I might start crying when I said, this is the incredible. And, you know, I didn't think anybody loved me, but God loved me. He set this up through the course of several years, actually, that I didn't know what was going on. But then, you know, I ended up at the second chapter of Acts concert, and it was all, it all came together, you know. But I didn't, you know, I looked around to some extent, but I was trying to look to people near me. I was with a bunch of people. Did,
Robert, I just got to ask you to jump right to the point. I'm sorry, but we got a ton of people waiting
anyway,
to come on the air.
I've been to, okay, the other situations I've been to, I remember being in Nashville, and I ended up somehow playing music at a Pentecostal concert, but actually it was at a Holiday Inn. And people, you know, the woman that was there, the pastor, and her children were there, and they got playing.
Tell you what, Robert, personal request for you. Shoot me a note in writing, all right? You got so much to say. I know you want to get it out, and I know the Lord's really transformed your life, but shoot me a note through my website, askdrbrown.org, and if you share it there, and it's good to share on the air, I promise to do it, all right? Fair enough? Sorry to cut you off, but I just want to be fair to our other callers, 866-348-7884. Let's go to Lauren in Kennesaw, Georgia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, you know what? Thank you so much, Dr. Brown. I can't thank you enough for your perseverance, because only somebody like you can go head-to-head with the pastor. And I'm a layman. I've been a Christian for 20-some-odd years, but it's just so hard for me to be able to debate on your level. And as a little newbie, I was a Catholic. I didn't believe in the gift. For me to get the gift of speaking in tongues, nobody can tell me that it's fake. And I've met up with a couple authors who were Pentecost, who now are completely on the other end, saying that it is demonic and, you know, you must have heard it before, literally trying to talk me out of my awesome godly experience. How dare you try to tell me that it was, and thankfully I've never heard it before. So honestly, I can say I've never heard the language. I was an unbeliever in it. And when they said I could possibly get it when they were praying over me, I did feel the grieving of the Holy Spirit. I almost got nauseous. I felt so bad that I would even question. And it goes back to the Bible in Mark, you know, where the dad is saying, you know, can you heal my son? And Jesus is saying, if I can, you know, everything's possible for him who believes. And I'm telling you, that's the problem in so many denominations, is they don't believe our God is mighty enough, yes, 2,000-some-odd years later, to still do what he did in Acts. I'm flabbergasted when I'm now, you know,
yeah.
I'm not going to tell you my denomination, but when I'm in here in the South and I'm like, you don't believe me? I'm standing right before you. You don't believe me. And they're like,
right.
No.
You know, and here's the other thing. Paul dealt with abuses in Corinth, but he never said it's not the Holy Spirit at work. They had some doctrinal error and they had some moral error, but he recognized
right.
the Holy Spirit at work and helped them. Today, if you can point out moral error or doctrinal error in some charismatic circles, you write the whole thing off. The other thing is, the idea, Pastor MacArthur argues for this, that the gifts of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit detract from the Word. No,
it doesn't.
This is in the Word,
yeah.
Right. It's in the Word, and it makes these things come alive all the more. And if the miracles in the book of Acts didn't detract from the preaching of the apostles, why should it detract from it today, from the preaching of the gospel by God's servants today? 866-34-TRUTH. Stephen in Northport, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, my. Good to hear you. Good to hear your voice. I last caught you in Queens at a church several months ago. We, my fiancé and I took a picture with you, and we married 10 days ago.
Oh, congratulations. I remember
you.
The meeting in Queens, of course. Sure.
Yes, good. You were powerful. It was good. I only have a minute or two. John MacArthur has been thinking this way for quite some time, as I think we both know.
Sure.
I remember in Moody Monthly, I caught an article written by him, and I was so outraged by it that I did a letter to the editor of Moody Monthly, and it appeared, and I made a copy of it, but that was like 30 years ago, so who keeps it, you know? But, you know, and I wondered about that. And within months or years, maybe within 3 years or so, I had heard that, that there was a suicide in Mr. MacArthur, Pastor MacArthur's church, and he was sued for malpractice. And I couldn't help but wonder, assuming this story was true, I couldn't help but think whether that was like just a tinge of God saying, hey, look, you know, you touch on my holy things, you know what? You know, things are going to happen. And things
What I would come away from is how wrong it would be to criticize Pastor MacArthur's counseling ministry or church based on what happened, the suicide allegedly connected to it, and the lawsuit. And yet, sadly, reading some of the Strange Friar book, I felt like I was reading National Enquirer. This one had a scandal, this one fell, this one, that one. And not even noticing that some have gone on to restore marriages that had fallen apart. So let's be as charitable as we can in the midst of our differences. Thanks for the call.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, my article, A Final Appeal to Pastor John MacArthur on the Eve of the Strange Fire Conference, has been shared over 8,000 times in the last, oh, I don't know, 5-6 hours. Read it. Make sure you read it when you have the opportunity. Go to AskDrBrown.org and click on Latest Article. I gave a brief teaching from Psalm 112, reading from the Hebrew Scriptures. We videotaped that yesterday. You can watch that by clicking on Latest Video on my website. And to stand with us, to hold our hands up as we're here on the front lines, seeking to glorify Jesus and exalt what the Holy Spirit is doing in the earth today, just click on Donate to become a monthly supporter, a torchbearer, or to help us with a one-time gift. We really would appreciate it. All right. It's true that Pastor MacArthur has taken these strong views against the charismatic movement over the decades. Here is what he had to say in his Charismatic Chaos sermon.
The charismatic movement has stolen the Holy Spirit and created a golden calf, and they're dancing around the golden calf as if it were the Holy Spirit. It is a false form of the Holy Spirit. They have co-opted the Holy Spirit and demanded to do that without being criticized, without being confronted, and they go on with their exploitation, and so true testimony concerning the Holy Spirit is pushed and repressed underground because it's going to be divisive. They're not going to like it. It'll offend somebody. So the charismatic version of the Holy Spirit is that golden calf who is not God the Holy Spirit, but a false creation, an idol around which they dance in their dishonoring exercises.
Pastor MacArthur, you are in serious error, my dear brother, my elder in the Lord. You are in serious error with that statement. You make a sweeping, damning statement of hundreds of millions of people, most of whom you have no idea what they really believe. And you have no idea about the quality of their worship. And yet you indict them because some of what they do is different than what you're used to and different than your own interpretation of Scripture and because of abuses and extremes by some. If only you would recognize that this so-called golden calf that you speak of and the so-called blasphemy of the Spirit that you speak of is actually people loving Jesus and worshiping in biblical ways, with biblical expressions, with all their heart and mind and soul and strength, exalting Jesus. Some of these precious people I've worked with, they've been stoned for their faith. They've been beaten for their faith. Some have been killed for their faith. And they go out and they plant churches in areas that you and I couldn't survive a week in. And they live there among the common people, among the hurting people, among the Hindus and the animists and the tribal worshipers of different kinds. I'm thinking in particular of those we work with in India, where my friend's ministry has planted over 6,000 churches in unreached tribal regions. And let me tell you, they have very real testimonies of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, if they didn't know they had power over Satan and demons today, they wouldn't last. In fact, that's what led to many, many others beginning to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in the last 30 or 40 years, that missionaries came back from the field. A major seminary discovered this. Their missionaries were coming back from the field and saying, we don't want to go back. We can't go back. We're suffering from depression. Our marriage is falling apart. Our whole family's gravely ill. They said, you told us that we didn't have to worry about demons today. You told us that those things were not for today. Well, they didn't believe that, and they had demonic power, and they cursed us, and we had nothing to do to resist. You told us the gifts and power of the Spirit weren't for today, but it seems the ones that are being saved and touched and delivered and turning from Satan and repudiating works of darkness are the ones that are being healed by the Spirit whose work you deny. And that's what caused some academic leaders and Christian leaders to begin to examine these things. Can you find quotes from some of these leaders I differ with? Of course, but that does not deny the wonderful, beautiful things the Holy Spirit is doing. Let's embrace it. Why? So that we can be better witnesses for Jesus and people can be drawn to him and recognize that he is alive and risen from the dead. Let's try to grab one more call. Richard in Ogden, Utah. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you for taking the call. I had a question for you. I'm just wondering what, kind of along the lines of what you were asking, where in Scripture do people like John MacArthur and say where in Scripture can they find that says that speaking in tongues and healing and signs and wonders are not for today?
Yeah, Richard, it's a very, very weak argument that's brought. To me, that's one of the fundamental issues, that they cannot back their position scripturally. They'll try to argue that what happened in New Testament times is different from what's happening today. But even so, if there was greater volume of what happened then or more substantial miracles that happened then, it doesn't deny miracles still happening today. And by the way, there are substantial miracles that happen today. I just read in Billy Graham magazine, Decision Magazine for October. It was handed to me yesterday by a journalist with the organization. A testimony of a man in Ohio who died. He was good shape, bodybuilder, something like 37 years old. His wife wakes up in the morning, sees he's barely breathing. They rush him to the hospital. He flatlines. His heart stops for 45 minutes. Flatlined. No life, zero, pronounced dead. There's even a Muslim doctor overseeing it, pronounced dead. The wife said somewhere around 8 different people came out to the waiting room where they were and said, "We're sorry, there's nothing we could do." They're preparing his body for the morgue. His pastor's praying and believing God. His son just says, "Dad, you're not dying today." Something happens with the wife in the waiting room that someone in a nearby room starts playing a hymn that they'd used in their wedding. They just feel this encouragement is going to rise. Suddenly the heart starts again. Well, of course, it's going to be vegetable brain dead. He's put into a medically induced coma. Anyways, perfectly fine and no sign of heart trouble. That's the power of God. That's the reality of God, and we should embrace it. And when Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14, we should do everything decently and in order, he says, one has a tongue, another has interpretation, one has a prophecy, one has a teaching. That's what he's talking about, things that many would reject as crazy today. So here's what you do, friends. If it's in the Word, embrace it. If it's not in the Word, don't worry about it. And if it's contrary to the Word, reject it. And say, "Lord, I want everything you have for me so I can glorify Jesus to the full and live a life pleasing to you. Be a holy, godly witness for you, testifying to the death and resurrection of Jesus." Friends, if you do that, what you get from above will not be a stone, will not be a demon. It'll be the blessing of God coming into your life. Don't seek an experience, seek God and say, "Lord, make me a more effective witness and world changer." You want to see an amazing testimony. Your whole family will want to watch it. Your church will watch it. Great to show to young people, great to show to those playing with sin, great to show to believers. Our DVD of the testimony from Son of Sam to Son of Hope, the amazing story of David Berkowitz from serial killer to a saintly man ministering the rest of his years in prison. $15 plus postage is our normal price, but it's yours for your gift of any size as you stand with us. So take advantage of this. You'll be blessed. Trust me. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. That's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, Jesus said, if you ask for bread, your Father will not give you a stone. Say, "Lord, I ask for the fullness of your Spirit in my life."